Dan Celia.
I want to be a nation that is on the biblical principles and the values and the ethics that are found in Scripture.
Your personal economy.
Financial issues that you need to know.
Aligning reality with truth.
But I think it's time we ask ourselves if we still know the freedoms that were intended for us by the founding fathers.
Now, here's your host, Dan Celia.
Welcome back, Financial Issues. I'm Dan Celia, 844-707-5533. If you want to queue your call, you're welcome to do that, 844-707-5533. And we'll take a quick look at the markets. We're waiting for the EIA numbers to come out. So we'll see. Almost regardless, I think the API numbers have helped the markets. When we start to see oil come down a little bit, that's going to be good. Maybe increase consumer confidence a little bit. If we could just stabilize, we don't have to see the price at the pump begin to dramatically drop by any stretch of the imagination. But what we do need to see is them begin to stabilize. And I'm thinking, based on what we are seeing so far this morning, that's exactly what's going to happen. We're going to start to see some stabilization come in to those. So we'll see if that is going to really have the kind of impact that we hope it does. The indices, the Dow's up about a half of 1%. So that's very good news, as we see indices up a half of 1%. NASDAQ up over a half of 1%. So is the S&P over just over a half of 1%. So very good news as we continue to watch what is going on. Look, the biggest problem is going to still be what is going on in the Eurozone. So the Eurozone's having an okay day, a pretty decent day right now. But that decent day is coming as a result of Brexit. They got a no vote on Brexit. So that no vote gives some confidence to the Eurozone in reference to Great Britain not leaving the Eurozone. And they perceive that as something that's going to be good for the Eurozone. Frankly, very short-sighted. I don't think the Brexit, them leaving the Eurozone, would have any real impact, positive or negative impact on the Eurozone. I think all of that is contrived and perceived. And I don't think, in fact, it would. And if it did, it would be very, very short-lived. Unfortunately, what is going on in the UK and in the UK Parliament is exactly what's going on here in America and American Congress and Americans in general, is that the negativity around everything. I saw a news report this morning in reference to the Trump budget talking about what he is doing to Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security. And it's so obvious that nobody, the one thing that is still a common thread that has been running 10 years through Congress is they've lost their ability to read. Nobody read the budget. Nobody looked at what the president put forth. And so now I'm seeing news articles from liberals saying, well, we're going to stop this. Stop what? What exactly are you going to stop? So you don't want the president. Now, the Republicans won't come back at this because they never do. That would put them on offense. Republicans don't do offense. They strictly play a defensive game and hope for the best. So they can't go on offense. If they can't go on offense, they can't come back on this. So what did the president do? Does anybody know? Well, he wants to get rid of corruption in disability benefits. You mean to tell me they think every single person that is collecting disability benefits deserves to be collecting disability benefits? Did they take a look at what happened in the 8 years of the Obama administration? So what happens? Are there people that need it? Are there people that should be collecting? Absolutely. That's why we have the program. But you don't think that we should ferret out the corruption? How about Medicaid? You think that every state in the union is doing exactly what they should do without any corruption in Medicaid? You think that they are doing a proper job vetting all of the needs in Medicaid? Come on, really? Is that what you think? That's what they think. It's not the case at all. All the president is going to do is take a look at these things very, very carefully and see how it can be made better and to get rid of some of the corruption. In doing so, he's probably going to pick up a lot more than he thinks as far as money goes. They don't want to do that. This was a budget. When I read it, and I didn't say anything yesterday. When I read it, I said, oh, man, are they going to have a field day with this? And then I'm thinking, well, you know what? They didn't pick up on it yet. Well, they did now. So now they're going to start, you know, talking about President Trump wanting to do away with everybody's Social Security. That's why nobody wants to fix Social Security. Because the party that tries to fix it, the other party is going to say they're doing away with Social Security. That's why they don't want to touch it. And that is exactly why, mark my words on this, it's going to be going bankrupt, and then they will fix it. It's going to have to go bankrupt before it gets fixed. That's really sad, because we could fix it for the rest of this century if we had the will to fix it. But they don't have the will because they don't care about the people. They only care about getting reelected. All right, here comes Craig Haugert coming up with our ag report, and then we're going to get to phones.
This is Craig Haugert with your Financial Issues Ag Update. Well, I wish that Friday's USDA report had been an early April Fool's joke, but unfortunately it was real, as was the damage that it caused to the markets. Corn prices dropped faster than a fat man in an elevator shaft, as the USDA placed prospective plantings at 92.8 million acres, while quarterly stocks were placed at 8.6 billion bushels. Both numbers were larger than the average trade estimate. Now, the funds were short coming into the report, and it looks as if they sold an additional 45,000 contracts on Friday. The bottom line is that farmers on Friday lost $30 per acre on any new crop corn that wasn't hedged. It was a tough day. As I record this, the overnight spot corn futures are trading 2 cents higher. Beans had a quieter day than corn, but still finished the day lower. The planting intentions of 84.6 million acres were actually bullish, but the large quarterly stocks of over 2.7 billion bushels overshadowed this. In the overnight trade, spot soybean futures are trading up 2 cents. Wheat was down Friday, although not as sharply as corn. The USDA bullish prospective plantings report of 45.8 million acres was heavily outweighed by the high quarterly ending stocks in wheat. It was interesting to note that spring wheat acres were pegged at 12.8 million acres versus the trade estimate of 13.4 million. Stocks came in at 1,591 million bushels, which is 40 million bushels more than the average trade estimate. The weekly national crop conditions ratings will start this afternoon, so it'll be interesting to see how the conditions of the crop out there is being perceived. In the overnight trade, Chicago is 2 cents higher, while Kansas City is up a half cent, and Minneapolis is trading unchanged. May cotton futures turned in a great performance on Friday as they finished the session up 174 points, closing at 77.61. In large part, this was due to the prospective plantings report, which put cotton acres at 13.8 million acres. That was 600,000 acres less than the average trade estimate. Livestock futures were lower straight across the board on Friday. For the session, June live cattle were 62.5 cents lower, while May feeder cattle finished down 90 cents. May lean hogs were down $2.35. Although it's been a couple of days since we've had much talk about China and the African swine fever, Reuters did have a story out on Friday which indicated that 41% of the breeding pigs in a major hog-producing region of China have been wiped out as a result of the disease. I doubt if we've seen the last impact of the Chinese situation on the hog market yet. Class 3 milk futures had a lethargic session, with the May futures closing down a point at 1548, and in the overnight trade, they're trading unchanged. In cash markets, choice beef boxes were $1.40 lower at $2.2604, while selects were down 63 cents to settle at $2.1889. In hogs, the pork carcass values closed 12 cents higher for the day, settling at $81.33. This has been Craig Haugert with your Financial Issues Ag Update. Be right back with more financial...
We are the American Family Association. Advance the kingdom in the way that you invest.
The opening statement in the Constitution of the United States says this, that we the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty. I don't know what part of that we don't get anymore. That was written by men who cared about this country deeply.
Financial Issues with Dan Celia.
Welcome back, Financial Issues. Let's get to phones, 844-707-5533, 844-707-5533. Thank you. Delancey called, just thanked me for our work that we're doing for the kingdom, and I sure appreciate your prayers. Thank you so much for that. Sure do appreciate it. Okay, let's go to Dwayne. Dwayne's calling us from Georgia. Hey, Dwayne.
Hey, Dan, how you doing?
I'm doing good, thanks.
Man, it's awesome to hear from you, Dan. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
I have just a few questions. My first one, this is combined two. I have a son that's two and then a son that's eight. Now, for my son that's eight, I just started him the 529B, plan here in Georgia. I'm wondering, should I switch that to, maybe a Timothy Aggressive Fund, since he's not going to college anytime soon. I was just trying to get a jump on it.
Yeah. No, I think that's wise. But, no, I don't know that I would switch it. What is it? Do they give you options there, Dwayne? Did they give you options whether you want to be, like, conservative or aggressive or?
Yeah, they do, Dan. They have a lot of different plans. I've just chose aggressive because he's eight, and so yeah. I just thought, yeah.
Yeah. No, I think that makes good sense.
Okay.
He's got 10 years. I would just leave it. I don't know that I would move it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd keep
okay.
it.
Okay, good. And my other question is, when you're just getting started, I heard you talking with the gentleman earlier about, you're just getting started. I'm 39. My wife is 37. We hadn't really started doing 401k or investing anything like that because, everybody suggests getting out of debt first, and then you have your 3 to 6 months worth of living expenses or whatever. Now, we're not near that, but I still, I didn't really see the harm of maybe putting 25 in a 401k, but I just wanted to see what you suggest on something
so
like that.
So do you have a 401k at work?
I do, but I wasn't really able to get into it, and I'm just listening to so much. Some people say don't, some people say do, so I didn't go with it, Dan. Thank
yeah.
you all for here.
I mean, I think that it is critical that you keep pecking away at the debt. So
okay.
I don't have a problem. If you have a 401k that you can participate in at a company, and if in particular they give you a match, they match a little bit of it.
Okay.
Then I feel like you got to do a little bit of something. So I wouldn't do a lot, but I would do something. Maybe you do $15, $20 a pay or something, but I would do a little bit until you get that debt finished, and then you can obviously, you'll be able to catch up pretty quick because remember, all that money that you've been putting towards your debt now is discretionary income now. You can start putting that to the 401k. But your goal with the 401k is to get to their total match. So let's say they match to 3% of your salary. Your goal is to get to 3%. If you can only do 1% now, that's fine. But, your goal to get to that 3%. Then after that, I would rather you go outside of that 401k and begin something. But for now, you got to get that free money, that match.
That makes sense. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Sounds good. That's all I need, Mr. Dan. Thank you very much.
I appreciate you, Dwayne. Thank you for listening.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Okay.
God bless. Thanks. 844-707-5533. Let me go to Joanne calling us from Louisiana. Hey, Joanne.
Hey, Dan, thank you for taking my call, and thank you for your ministry.
Sure.
So I work for the state of Louisiana. I'm in TIAA.
Okay.
And most of the time they recommend, I'm going to retire in the next 2 to 5 years, depending how things go, but most of the time they just make recommendations about spreading your money through mutual funds and bonds, annuities. They don't really talk too much about dividend stocks or things like that. So my question is, I probably may need some additional income after retirement from dividends. should I move some of that money into dividend-producing stocks? And what would the ratio that you would see for something that's safe? Because I'm fairly conservative. Right now I'm 70-30, 30 in risk and 70 in fixed.
Yeah. So I would say that you, if you have, I wouldn't worry about doing it now. I think that you're not going to be able to do it, at least to my liking, now where you are, because you're not going to be able to do individual kinds of stocks, those good dividend producers. You're not going to be able to do that. So, you know, my thought would be that you would continue doing whatever, you know, as much as you can do, continue to accumulate and to grow that. And then, you know, at some point in time, when you retire 2-3 years, whatever it might be, you're going to roll that out of there and you're going to roll it over to an IRA account. And then once you get it in the IRA account, you can begin to build an income kind of portfolio. And at that time, you can follow along with financial issues, but you can build that and start building those individual things that are going to produce income that you're now going to actually take that income. So that's what you'd want to do. Now, one of the things that you may know or don't fully understand or not aware of, so one of the pieces, and I believe it's TIAA, not the CREF side, but the TIAA side, you can't move. So when you withdraw out of that side of the portfolio, you have to do it over a period of 10 years. So you're going to only move 10% for the next 10 years to get it over to your IRA account. Now, the idea with that TIAA side of things is a lot of times people will annuitize that, and that's what they're going to use for their income stream. So I don't know how yours is set up, whether it's set up all on the CREF side, whether, you know, a certain percentage is going into the TIAA or whatever you're doing there. But when I say when you retire, you're going to move, roll that over into an IRA, you're only going to be able to roll over what you have on the CREF side.
I do have a brokerage side on the TIAA. I can move money into funds.
Oh, into stocks or mutual funds?
Stocks, I'm sorry, okay. Into stocks.
Okay.
Yeah, I have the ability to do that. So my second question, if you don't mind, is, so you're recommending that I move my money from TIAA because I have a free financial consultant through TIAA.
Yeah,
and
no.
I can't do the brokerage side.
Yeah, I don't.
TIAA.
Yeah, I don't recommend you do anything until after you retire. I don't want you necessarily to build an income portfolio until you're ready to start taking the income. Now, do you, if you have a brokerage link side to that, and you can put, when you retire, you can move it all into the brokerage side, you can even do that now, that's fine, but I wouldn't do it now in income things, since you're still in a little bit of a growth mindset or whatever you're doing. Maybe you're doing their stable value fund, which is a, you know, because you said you don't have a lot of risk tolerance, and maybe that's what you're doing, and that's a fine thing to do. So I would just, I wouldn't do anything until you have that need for the income.
Are you comfortable with TIAA?
I like TIAA's, I like TIAA as a company. I like what they do. I like their funds. They're not biblically responsible, but they're, except for their stable value fund, and the stable value fund is probably the best stable value fund in the country. It's the only one that's guaranteed, whatever, but it really is not guaranteed. TIAA's is. I would be, you know, and if you're getting a match and you're using the stable value, I don't know what stable value is paying, but I would suspect it's somewhere around 2.5-3%, might even be a little more. you know, and you want to just continue to contribute to that, take your match, you know, and get your match, your free money. So if you put a dollar in and you get a match of it on that dollar, that's 100, you just made 100% plus what you're getting in the stable value. So, but I like it as a company. I don't like the fact that they're not biblically responsible. They're never, their funds are never going to be, but you can, if you have a brokerage link side of things, you can do biblically responsible investing because you'll have options to go wherever you want to go. But again, stick with what you're doing. You can stick with that brokerage side of things even after you retire, but I would like you to get biblically responsible, and I would like you at some point in time to build an income portfolio.
Much, Dan. I appreciate it.
You're welcome, Joanne. I'm glad you called. Good stuff.
Thank you.
All right. God bless. Thank you.
You too.
Let me go to... there's nobody there. I went to next, but didn't go to... Okay. Jason, are you there?
Yes, how are you doing today, sir?
Good.
Great, great. My question is that I'm a young guy. I'm young, about 35. I'm just starting out. I got a late start. And I've got a 401 with my company, but I'm not able to save any money on the side. And so I wonder, what was your thoughts on me, like, getting into stocks? And what about dividends? Because I'm not able to save any money. Like, I pay my bill, check everything by myself. You know, I got my 401k, but I'm not able to bring any money home to do any other thing. I was wondering what...
Yeah, I mean, I'm okay with it. I think it's an open... And I think you ought to begin to consider doing that. I think that would be wise. But what I would say to you, Jason... at 35, I would rather you, I don't have anything against dividends, that's a good thing, but at the same time, you should be more growth-oriented, where you're thinking about growing your money and leaving it in there and continue to grow it. The other thing I would say to you is that, obviously, I want you to be biblically responsible, but you also need to have emergency savings. And that's different than investing, because you don't want to invest, your transmission blow up, you've got to fix it, and you're going to be forced to get in debt because you don't want to sell something if it's at a loss. So I'd be very careful about that. I'll put you back on hold, Jason.
41.
Whoa. Call 1-800-958-9891.
Distributed by Timothy Partners Limited. Member FINRA.
Welcome back. Financial Issues, 844-707-5533, 844-707-5533, Financial Issues. Great to be here. I was talking to Jason, and Jason had another follow-up question. Go ahead, Jason.
Yeah, how are you doing again? Yeah. Am I set? Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, okay, yeah. Am I? Yeah, that was pretty much my main question was that, because again, I'm trying to, you know, do something for long term. I got my 401k, but you know, I pay all my bills. I stay under my means, but still, it's hard for me to save money. So
yeah.
I'm trying to see how can I possibly build, either if I can do invest in stocks and draw dividends from that. But you was talking about long term savings, and that's kind of hard for me to do right now. I didn't know what path to take.
Yeah. You know? So you don't want to, you know, I would rather than you put money in stocks. You know, the dividends, you know, if you have a stock that's paying 40 cents a share, you know, and you only have 10 shares, you know, it's not going to be a lot of money that's going to be paying into it. But I would rather you have 10 shares of a stock that has a greater opportunity for growth, you know, to go from $10 a share to $12 a share. Than rather have something that's paying you 40 cents in a dividend. Now, if you want to buy 2,000 shares and you're getting 40 cents, now you're getting a little bit of income every year. But I would first want you to have savings, before you do that. Do your 401k like you're doing. That's great. But remember, if something happens that you're going to spend money on, I use that example of your transmission in your car, but whatever it is that happens, you're going to have to get in debt to fix it. You know what I mean? You're going to have to use a credit card. And that's so the way you stay out of debt is to build up some emergency savings so that you have that savings for that event. Even little things like buying tires on your car and stuff like that. You know, that to have some savings to do those things is important. So I would rather, if you can set some money aside, I would rather you not buy a stock and I'd rather you put it in savings. You know what I mean? Okay. Because I think that's going to serve you better in the long run. In the meantime, keep doing whatever you got coming out of your pay. You know, keep doing that. That's important for your 401k.
Okay, cool. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
All right, Jason. I'm glad you called. Thank you. Let me go to Benji. Benji's calling us from Tennessee. Hey, Benji.
Yes, sir. Man, this is awesome. I had a two-fold question, I guess. I left an employer about 3 years ago and have an IRA. So that 403B rolled into an IRA, and I left it with the current. It's with Voya. And then I'm currently in a Wells Fargo 401K through my work. And then I put about 10% into that, and then I have 5% going into an E-Trade money market account. And so my first question is, with the Voya the IRA I have, should I move that into like an IRA in the E-Trade account? Should I roll it into my 401k with Wells Fargo or leave it where it's at? I'm not currently contributing to it at all. It's just sitting right growing from what I already have.
Yeah, I would move it. I would move that to your E-Trade account. Open an IRA at E-Trade. Move that over to that IRA at E-Trade. That's going to give you options that you don't have now. So it'll give you options to do individual stocks. It'll allow you to get biblically responsible. It'll give you a whole world. You can put it in CDs if you want. I mean, you can do whatever you want with it, but it'll give you options, and you need to have options. You should have options. So I would definitely do that. I would roll it into an IRA at E-Trade. You have this money market. That's really a great thing. What you're doing is having some money going over to E-Trade on a regular basis. Continue to do that. And, of course, as that grows or builds up, you can, you know, start to invest that as well, little by little, and start to build that investment portfolio. So it sounds like you're doing, you're off to a great start. You're doing the right things. So I wouldn't change anything except get out of that Voya account and get it over to E-Trade.
And whenever I set up the IRA through E-Trade, that'll be a fund transfer without any penalties or anything like that, right?
Oh, yeah, that's right. It won't be any penalties, no tax, anything, nothing like that.
And yeah. As I get more income to invest, should I invest more in my 401k? I'm already getting the max there, or just continue to roll it into the money market account, or should I invest in the IRA and E-Trade?
Yeah, good question. I mean, I would, if you're already maxing out the match, whatever they match, I wouldn't do any more than that. I would just do the match. I'm not a fan of where it is. I'm not a fan of the opportunities that you have there to invest. So, but I am a fan of getting the match. You know, I want you to get the free money. So I would get the maximum of match, and then I would start using your E-Trade account for anything over and above that.
Into the money market or into the IRA?
No, into the IRA. Into the IRA.
Oh.
Yep.
Okay. So the money market, just continue to let it grow and invest it, but continue to put in it also?
Yeah. So your money market account, you're going to start to, you know, as that accumulates, you're going to buy a couple stocks, or you're going to buy, you know, you're going to start investing in that. But, you know, as it accumulates. So keep doing that. Absolutely keep doing that.
All right. Yeah, I've been a partner for about 3 years, and so I use your asset allocation models for that.
That's perfect. Perfect. Yep. And when you invest your IRA that you're rolling over, make sure that, let's say the IRA you're rolling over is $2,000, whatever it is. make sure that when you are looking at the asset allocation model, that you count that $2,000 as a part of the percentage that you're calculating on. You know what I mean? So make sure it's considered one pot of money in your mind, so that you now, when you roll that over, you now have more money to contribute to that overall asset allocation model. Does that make sense?
Probably. So basically, yeah, make it match. Add all my dollars together and make them match the asset allocation model.
Exactly. Exactly. I don't care where you do it. You might have an energy stock over in your IRA, and you might have the rest of your stocks over in the investment account. That doesn't matter. Just make sure that it all lines up.
Okay. And so is it better to invest in the IRA than just in the money market account?
Yeah. I don't. So I want you to continue to contribute in IRA money, but I don't want you to do it all in your 401k, because I don't want you to do any more there than what they match. So if you can do more, then you might want to, let's say you can now do another $50 a month more, then I wouldn't do it in the 401k. You might want to add $25 to what's going in the investment account and $25 into the IRA. At both at each rate, I'm talking about.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you. That's great.
Okay.
All right. I appreciate it, Dan.
All right, Benji. Thank you for your partnership. I sure appreciate it. God bless.
Yes, sir. Thank you. God bless.
Yep. Let me go to David. David's calling us from Florida. Hey, David.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Just got a quick question. You say that to take the profits, I have a couple of stocks that all they are is profit. I've gotten all of my costs out of them and everything, and they're just riding in their profit. One's like E44.
Yes.
It's just all profit. Is that something I should just go ahead and sell, or
no,
just let it
no.
ride?
No, I would just let it ride. You've got no cost tied up into it. Man, I would forget about it like it doesn't even exist.
Okay. Another one just above it there on the list there. I've got three or four that have no cost in any of them.
Yeah, boy, that's great. Yeah, no, I would just let those ride. You know, now if that goes up dramatically, now all of a sudden you're sitting someday and you're up 70-80%, you may want to sell out and reinvest it somewhere else. But, they're good stocks. I would just leave them go.
Okay. All right. I was wondering, I didn't know if just go ahead and cash them out and get ready for something else, or just let them ride.
Let them ride. Yep. Right.
Thanks. Thank you.
Thank you, David. I appreciate your partnership.
Thank you.
Yep, bye-bye. You're welcome. 844-707-5533. As soon as we get off this break, we'll go back to the phones. 844-707-5533. By the way, we've got another hour and 10 minutes left, hour and 15 minutes left. So if you want to queue your call, now is a good time to do it. We also are running on Facebook this morning. We had a problem yesterday. There was a technical streaming problem, I assume. But we're running. So if you've got questions, you can post those on Facebook. We'll get to those as well. 844-707-5533. I want to remind you, conference call on Thursday. Don't miss it. If you're a partner, you want to be in on that conference call. Our conference calls are getting more and more important as time goes on leading up to the 2020 election. So you don't want to miss any. Make sure that you hear all of those so you have a better feel for what we're thinking. Very, very important. So if you're a partner, you don't want to miss the conference call on Thursday. And whether you're a partner or not, new listener, whatever, if you want to retreat from the world, grow spiritually, have a great time of fellowship and worship with more like-minded people with the Financial Issues family, man, I hope you're coming to our retreat. I promise you, you will not.
And add the power of gold to your portfolio. recommendations expressed by Dan are his own and do not necessarily represent the opinions of this station or any of the show's sponsors.
So Alan is asking me a question. He says, I bought 125 shares at the beginning of the year of your 9 for 19. I assume you bought one of the stocks, maybe two. I don't know if he got it. If he has 125 shares of all nine of them, that wouldn't be very much. So I assume he doesn't have that. He's asking, though, do you still recommend holding? Look, if you bought those thinking you were going to be... Now, most of the people that own the 9 for 19 are up considerably. You're not, so that's why I'm saying you probably just bought one, and you bought the one that, you know, the one of the some that are down. But look, the idea of 9 for 19, which was pretty clearly talked about, was you buy them and you forget about them. So if you're not in for the long term, then, man, you shouldn't have any investments. I mean, if you're thinking about after one quarter, it's not even a quarter, but after one quarter, you're thinking about selling because you're down, man, you should not be, and I'm not trying to sound mean or anything, but you shouldn't be investing. These are nine stocks that you ought to buy and literally forget you even own them. And that's the idea. These become almost foundational to your portfolio. And so they were great values. They're still, if I liked them in December, at the end of December, I'd love some of these now if I liked them then, because they are down. So I would just, all I can tell you is hang in there. Don't even think about it. If you're down in 8 years and you want to think about selling, okay. But not after one quarter, not after 1 month, not after 1 year, not after 5 years. You need, you got to be a long-term investor, and I'm going to assume you are. So I would add to those if you're down. I would buy more. I would spread it out. I try to get all nine up. I would do a number of things, but selling wouldn't be one of them. All right, let me go to Eric. Eric, calling us from Texas. Hey, Eric.
Hey, how you doing, sir?
Good.
Great. Hey, I got a question. I'm brand new to investments and stocks and all that stuff. I'm 40 years old.
Okay.
And I was just trying to figure out, like, how do you determine, like, if I'm going to buy stock XYZ, how do I determine how many shares do I buy? What is that based off of?
So it's based off how you would determine it. There's an asset allocation model, and let's just say that it says that you should have, 7% of your money in a particular sector, like energy, and you're to have 7% in that. So you're going to buy whatever 7% is. Now, if you're 7%, is a, you know, is $50,000, then you ought to have that spread out over two or three, maybe even four stocks. If it's $50, then you have it in one stock. And as you grow and build, and you went from energy, and now you're over to industrials, and then you're over to technologies, and you're buying just one stock with a few shares to meet that percentage, then you go all the way through the model, and then you start over again. Now you're back to energy, and you see what you've accumulated maybe over a quarter or a half a year or whatever, and you buy that, and you just little by little, ideally someday as you grow and you build that, ideally someday you've got not more than five, but, you know, three or four or five stocks in every sector.
Yes, sir.
So it's, don't think about it as money, Eric, because everything I do is on percentages, because some people have, you know, a lot of money, some people have a little money, but it doesn't matter. The principles are the same. So that's why I always show everything and talk about everything as a percentage. So it doesn't matter if you're just starting out and you say, well, there's no sense in me even starting because I only have $500. I've been saving and I've got $500. Yeah, no, it's fine. But just commit that $500 to maybe just one sector and then start accumulating again. And then you get another $500 and in another 6 months or whatever it is, and you commit that to another sector. So, you know, just take your time little by little, but that's how you determine it based on those percentages.
Thank you so much, sir.
All right, Eric, thank you. I'm glad you called. Great question.
Yes, sir.
Yep, thank you. You know, that's an important question that Eric asked, and he you know, a lot of people ask that because I get frustrated sometimes because I get calls when people say, well, I didn't want to call because I only have a little bit of money. This isn't about a little or a lot. It's about getting started. It's about investing and honoring God with your investing. And it's about percentages. I never talk about money. I talk about percentages. It doesn't matter. I don't care if you have a million or you've got 1,000. It doesn't matter. Or you're just starting. Maybe you don't have anything. Maybe you're looking at Timothy and you're starting your 401k and you're starting with $20 a month. It's okay. That $20 a month you put in, you can have that going out to 4 different mutual funds. So, you know, $5 a month is going to 4 different mutual funds, and that's good. That's great, man. There's nothing wrong with that. That's the way it should be. So don't ever be discouraged if it is a case where you don't have a lot. Let me go to, it looks like Hawk from Michigan.
Good morning, Dan.
Good morning.
Thank you for your services, and I just want to call to encourage everybody listening to become members. And I became concerned today when I heard that you have a burden because of the possibility of the support that is lower than you thought. I don't think someone like you should be burdened by that, and I'm really concerned about that because of what you provide for all of us. It's much, much more than what we're paying. So I have 2 memberships, one for my wife, one for myself. And the membership is the premium membership because I'm managing all the finances in our family.
Yes.
And it's much, much worth it, more than worth it. Here's the reason why. I encourage everybody who don't even have the money, who's thinking about in the future investing, to go into become members and start learning from your site, to even start putting probably a fake investment strategy based on your age, just to see how it works. You know, that's just my thing because, you know, I paid a lot of money before to other organizations, and I'm managing about maybe $600,000 to $700,000 now, and it's doing really well. And you have been an answer to my prayer about more than 6 years ago. When I pray for over a year to look for somebody like you, I don't even listen to anything else, either Fox Business or anything, because that will basically pollute my thinking.
Yes, that's what I think the same way. That's why I don't listen. People say, did you hear us? And no, I don't listen to that stuff.
No, because I only listen to you now.
Yeah. Well. The thing
about it is, Dan, I have never found anyone in the finances, even Christians, who have this passion and the honesty that you have. You're not taking anything in. I met you actually at the Byron Center in Michigan when you came here.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah.
A couple of years ago.
Yeah.
So I just don't want to encourage everybody. And I question people who are doubting because if you start looking at it, it is incredibly generous of you what you're doing.
Well, Hawk, I'm so grateful for your words because you sure have encouraged me today. I hope you've encouraged the listeners. And you know, it is a I get down even because I'm. I may show a lack of faith. God has always provided for this ministry. And I know that he will. But sometimes I feel I'm saying, you know, you got to nudge some people sometimes.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm so grateful because you sound like you have this incredible recognition of exactly what I want to try to accomplish with so many people. And, man, you are exactly what I want for everybody. And, you know, people say, I don't listen to any talk radio. I don't listen to any financial programs. I read a lot because I have to, but I have a filter that's built in that I can filter out the ideological slants of people when they look at it. So I try to stay with hard data, but you're right about what you say. The reason why you say you've done so well is because you're not letting anything else sway your initial judgments or your feelings. You're just sticking with the plan, and you believe in the plan, and that's what makes it work right there. What everything you've said is what makes it work. Man, I want to thank you. I'm up against it. What a great way to end this hour, and what an incredible blessing. And I look forward. I hope I get to meet you again soon. I sure do appreciate you. Thank you.
Thank you, Dan.
Thank you. I sure do appreciate it. Man, great stuff. And what a blessing to me, if nothing else. And that's exactly what he just outlined, what our mission is here at Financial Issues. Great stuff. Thank you so much, Michigan. I sure appreciate it. Folks, you got to leave us. Remember, it's all his. It's all the Lord's. Let's be a good and faithful steward. Have a great weekend. God bless.
If we ever forget that we're one nation under God,